see this number out this morning, and if you have your Bibles, if you'll be turning to 1 Samuel 16, that's where we'll begin our study in just a moment, 1 Samuel 16. In a few moments, we'll stand and sing the song that Brother Craig has suggested. If you've never put on Christ in baptism, all things have been made ready this morning, where you can confess Jesus as the Son of God and be immersed into Christ for the remission of sins, or if you've wandered away from Christ and need to be restored, be glad to pray with and for you. So while we're singing that song, if you make your way to the front, we'd be glad to assist you in any way. In 1 Samuel 16, I'd like to read with you verses 6 and 7 for the thought of our study. So it was when they came that he looked at Eliab and said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." At this particular time, you'll recall that God had instructed the prophet Samuel to go to Bethlehem and there anoint a king to replace Samuel or to replace Saul. You remember that he had gone to anoint one of the sons of Jesse as king. God had decided to remove Saul as king because of his rebellion and because he continued to defy God's authority. Thus, God instructed Samuel to go down and to anoint a king from the tribe of Jesse, from the family of Jesse. And God instructed him not to look on the outer part of man, but to listen to his word. However, when you read in 1 Samuel chapter 16, when Eliab, the oldest son of Jesse, stood before Samuel, he saw certain things about that young man that made him presume he would be the next king. In other words, he looked the part. He looked like a king. But when you observed what God said, you'll see that he looked like a king to Samuel, but not to God. The first thing I want to put into our heart is when you look at Eliab through the eyes of Samuel, you'll see somebody that did look like a king. Judging through Samuel's eyes, Eliab would be the man. In your Bible, in the book of 1 Samuel and the 16th chapter, in verse 6, it says, "So when they came, that he looked at Eliab and said, 'Surely the Lord's anointed is before me.'" Eliab had certain qualities that made Samuel think he would be the one who would be anointed king. First, Eliab was the oldest. If you have your Bible in 1 Samuel 17, look down at verse 28. You remember that when David had gone to the battle, it said, "Now Eliab, his oldest brother," underscore oldest brother. In that day in dispensation, to be the oldest was a position of honor. You had the birthright in the family. You were the one that was to be honored at that particular time. It carried much responsibility and yet at the same time, much honor. Secondly, he had the right appearance. In what you read at verse 6, when Samuel saw him, he must have been good looking. No doubt he looked the part of a king. You remember that David had a son named Absalom. And likewise, he was a man that was good looking. He was a man that would play the part of a king or look the part of a king. In fact, the Bible said there was no blemish upon his body. And yet his heart was not right with God. So when you look through the eyes of Samuel, you'll think that Eliab looked the part. Recall how Saul was head and shoulders over the rest of the people of that day. But God told Samuel, don't look at the outer part. In fact, the business, look at what he says in verse 7 carefully. "The Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." In other words, God is saying, you don't know the heart of Eliab. In fact, the business, Samuel, you don't know anything about him like I do. All you can see is the shell of the man. All you can see is his outer appearance, but you don't know what's in him. So then in your Bible, you'll remember that Samuel looks through all the sons of Jesse except the youngest, and he doesn't anoint any of them as king. So now let's judge through the eyes of God. When you look at the eyes of God, notice that He is looking at David. Now Jesse, the father, is significant to observe, didn't even call David out of the field from where he was tending the sheep. He just assumed David, his youngest, would not look the part of a king. David, who was ruddy and good looking, yet he did not think that he would be the one anointed as the king of Israel. But when you read your Bible, do you think about that statement Samuel made? When Samuel looked over all the sons, he looks at Jesse and he says, "Do you have any other sons?" And Jesse said, "Yes, there's the youngest out in the field tending the sheep." And no doubt Jesse did not consider it could be David that Samuel was looking for. However, in verse 7, notice again, God looked at the heart of David. And He saw a warrior's heart in David, a heart of mercy, a heart of love, and one that follows the Lord. Take your New Testament for just a moment and look at what the writers of God had to say about David in Acts chapter 13. In Acts 13, in verse 22, it talks about after the removal of Saul because of his rebellion, he was removed, and it said that God raised up for them David as king, to whom also He gave testimony and said, "I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart who will do my will." Have you ever thought about what God looked at? God looked at the heart of that man. Now, both of these brothers looked like a king to different people for different reasons. To Samuel, Eliab looked the part because of his physical stature. Eliab probably looked like Jackie Sexton in his prime, or something like that. And there was Eliab, who looked the part. But now then, you look back, and God looks at David. And God says, David is the man. But I want you to go back to the book of Acts for just a moment in the 13th chapter, and look at what comes in verse 23. In verse 23, notice that from this man's seed, that's David, according to the promise, God raised up for Israel a Savior, Jesus. I want you to think about that for just a moment. Have you ever thought that through the seed of David came another one who would be king, even though he never looked like the part? Open your Bible back to the book of Isaiah for just a moment and the 53rd chapter. In Isaiah chapter 53, notice in verse 1, he said, "Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He had no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." You know what he's saying? He doesn't look the part of a king. He said there's nothing about him that would set him apart from anybody else. He didn't have any form or comeliness that we would desire him to be the king. And when Jesus came to the earth, he didn't look like a king to many. He didn't look like a king, and they rejected him. In John chapter 1 and verse 11, the divine revelation said, "He came to his own, and his own received him not." They did not recognize him, nor the fact his kingdom is spiritual. You remember in John 18 and verse 36, Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight. But my kingdom is not from here." In John chapter 6 and verse 15, you remember they wanted to take Jesus and make him king by force. And they wanted him to be their king, but they wanted a carnal king. And Jesus wanted them to understand he did not come to be a carnal king. He came to be a spiritual king. He didn't come to rule over a nation. He came to rule over his kingdom, which is spiritual in nation. And I want you to think about, my friend, the different times you see Jesus. In Matthew 2:2, he didn't look like a king in the manger. When he was born out in the manger and he was laid in the manger, he didn't look like a king. Nor in Matthew 7:27-42, when he was upon the cross, he didn't look like a king. However, in the Revelation letter in the 19th chapter in verse 16, He is called the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is over all. He is the King of His kingdom. And He is the Lord over all things. Now, He may not have looked like it, but you know something, my friend? Sometimes the problem with man is we judge things by the outward appearance, not knowing what's in man. I want to take that, make application the lesson yours. I want to raise that question. How do you see others? Do we ever realize the potential of others? Or do we judge them only on appearance? Because I'll tell you something, you don't know the heart of anyone. I'll never forget when my mother would go and we would have children come into our home that were foster children. And they were dirty and they hadn't had a bath and they'd come in. Mama would always say to me, don't look at where they are, but look at what they can become. And you know that's true of every one of us. Can I say to you with all kindness and yet candor, there was a time that maybe you didn't look like a good prospect for Christianity. Unless we're looking for a certain kind of people, I'll tell you, when Jesus came, He went to the sinners. Because sinners need the gospel. And you know who the sinners are? Everybody. Everybody needs the gospel. It doesn't matter if you're black, white, red, or yellow. It doesn't matter if you've got money or if you're poor. It doesn't matter if you live on this side of town or that side of town. I'll tell you, my friend, that the gospel is needed by every individual. And until I see that I'm a sinner in need of the gospel of Jesus Christ, then, my friend, I can act self-righteous. A lot of people act self-righteous because they don't see their own sin. And we look out at somebody and we say, oh, they're in the pig pen. My friend, you can be in the pew and be in the pig pen. And what I need to recognize is that many times we misjudge others because we look at the wrong things. We look at the outward appearance and not what they can become. Secondly, how do others see us? Do they see that we are children of the King, that we are kings in Christ? Open your Bible to the Revelation letter and the first chapter and look at what John had to say. In Revelation chapter 1, in verse 6, he said, and He's made us kings and priests. Underscore that. Kings and priests to His God and Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. In other words, we represent the King. We are to be lights in a dark world. We need to behave so as not to bring reproach upon our Heavenly Father. I remember as I was a young man going out, my father would often say, don't forget your name. In other words, you better not get in trouble and bring reproach upon the name of Richardson. But you know that's more true about being a Christian. We don't need to bring reproach upon our Father's name. And what we need to do is live in such a way to give God glory, to give God honor, to give God praise. Open your Bible kindly to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look at verse 3. He says, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age is blinded. That's the devil. Who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I'll tell you, we need to be lights. But the third thing we need to remember is, many may have the look of a righteous man, but not the heart. You can look good, but not be good. And I'll tell you, you can fool people, but you can't fool God. He knows the heart. He doesn't look as man looks. He doesn't see as man sees. God wants us to have a heart after His. And can I tell you something this morning? I don't care how far from God you've gotten in sin. I don't care how far it is that you are away from God right now. You can still have a heart after God. You can change. Because I've seen many people in this group who at one time was far from God. They've changed. I've seen in my own life change. You don't have to continue to live in sin. You can change and have a heart that is for God. You don't have to be separated from Him. You don't have to live a life away from Him. You can make the change and you can start today. I don't know of a better time than today. Jesus and then the New Testament always urged today. Today, Paul said, is the day of salvation. And God is interested in your heart. What God wants man to do is repent of his sin and change and say, look, I've made these things against your will. I've lived contrary to you, but I want to change to be after your heart because I want to be with you when I die. That there's more to this life than just living for the moment. There's more to this life than just having pleasure for a short time. But that there is life beyond the grave. And there's joy in being a Christian. And there's joy in knowing your sins are blotted out. Have you ever thought about what it means to have joy because your sins are forgiven? Do you know what it means to have your sins taken away and to know that you are right with God? That you can pillow your head at night knowing that God is your Father and that God loves you as His child and to know what it means to have a clean conscience because you're right with God. God has always wanted our heart and Christ is our King. Isn't that a wonderful thought this morning? That Christ is the one who rules over His kingdom. And what He wants is you to be a part of it. He went to great lengths so you could be a part of it. He even died on a cross so you could be a part of it. Now, He may not have looked like a king when He was here, but I'll tell you, my friend, He is the King. And one day I'm going to stand before Him. I've often thought about in the day of judgment. Wouldn't it be something if you looked up and your mother was your judge? I always thought, man, I wish Mama was my judge because Mama was always gracious. But you know who's more gracious than your mother? Christ. If you're in His kingdom. He doesn't overlook sin, but when you ask Him to forgive it, He blots it out. He takes it away. He removes it. As far as the east is from the west, He takes away our sin. And what God wants is us to have a heart for Him because He has a heart for us. I want to ask you a question. What does God see when He looks at your heart? Has your heart become hardened? Has your heart become that which is no longer wanting to receive His will and do what is right? What does God see when He looks at your heart? You see, it doesn't matter what I see. I could be wrong. But what God sees is what is important. You may not look like a king to me, but you may look like a king to God. You may not look like a child that belongs to God, but you can be a child that belongs to God. And you can change your life to reflect His and be a light in this community where there's so much darkness. What people need is to see Christ in us. What does God see when He looks at your heart? If you need to respond to the gospel,